So, what did you see that was the same in these two passages? Cloud. Yes, a cloud at the top of the mountain. Who knows what happens after the transfiguration? Where does Jesus go? As we're coming into Lent. Into the wilderness, that's right. And so just like Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, so too will Jesus be wandering for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And just as Moses saw God in a cloud on a mountaintop, so too did Jesus see God in a cloud on the mountaintop. It seems like these stories are awfully similar, doesn't it? Yes. Okay, so the reason is, of course, that this is the passage in Matthew that shows us the context for Jesus. And as we've been saying all winter long, Matthew is very big on this, is very big on showing us that Jesus is specifically the fulfillment of many Jewish prophecies. And here we have another element in that story. This is how we get this story in the passage, in the scriptures that we have received. This is an important part of the story because Elijah and Moses have specific roles in our own understandings of religion and in the understandings of first century Judaism. Moses came down from the mountaintop with the law. He came down with the basis for society in ancient Israel. This is, as it turns out, an important thing to have happened. That this is what allowed the Israelites in exile back after the temple was destroyed to maintain a sense of themselves. This is Moses, the founder of the law, the Torah, the teachings of God. Elijah was the greatest of all the Hebrew prophets. It was Elijah who brought again the worship of God back to Israel when it had been overrun, especially in the northern kingdom, by the worshipers of the Baals, those people, Ahab and Jezebel, names which we still don't really like very much, had worshipped the Baals. What did Elijah do as the greatest of the prophets? He was able to call the fire of God down to destroy the priests of the Baals. So we have on the one hand Moses, the bringer of the law. On the other hand, Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. He who was not, who did not die, but was raised up bodily into heaven. And if you don't believe me, go to Jordan, because you can go down to the baptismal site of Jesus, and on the way, on the bus, they will point to you where Elijah was lifted up into heaven. Ask Beth, she was there too. And so we have the greatest of these prophets, the people who were the foundation for what we call the Old Testament. If you look at the Hebrew Bible, you have, it's called the Tanakh, the Torah, the teachings from Moses. And the Ketubim, the prophecies of the Old Testament, and then the other writings. But we have the law and the prophets, and then we have Jesus, who embodies in that what was then that modern age, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets up on the mountaintop. Jesus was transfigured by the touch of God into something more, into not just the rabbi, not just the teacher, not just the prophet, but revealed as indeed the Son of God in a new way, revealed to his greatest disciples, to his first disciples, to James and John and Peter, the rock on which he would build his ministry. And so in ancient Israel, this story had a meaning. It was this, it was just as God transformed Elijah from a prophet into someone who could bring fire for reformation, into this person that did not die but was lifted bodily into heaven. Just as God transformed Moses from a leader of a people in exile to the founder of a nation with the law that he brought, so too is Jesus transformed from this person who teaches a lot of things in this tradition to something new, to something embodying the love of God on earth, not to be revealed until later. So the story is important for calling out where Jesus was in the lineage, for the story and the importance of Jesus to the history of Israel, but it is more than that. Because Jesus' life and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection have an additional meaning for us, the followers of Jesus. As he went, so will we go also, is our hope. This is the good news that we preach in this church, that in Jesus' resurrection, we too may be resurrected. We too may be something new. Out of death, we too may find life. And so it is with this transfiguration. So it is with this moment on the mountaintop, as Moses was transformed by the presence of God. His face too shone, just like Jesus's. As Elijah was transformed, as Jesus was transformed, so we may be transformed also. But this also gives us a hint at something that we don't always like to talk about. Sometimes transformation hurts. Sometimes transformation brings pain and fear and uncertainty. Because that is what James and John and Peter, well, at least James and John, are feeling when they see the cloud. They don't know what has happened. They are uncertain about the future. They know that Jesus is now marked as different from them, as other from them. It is something new they had not experienced in following him before. This is a new stage in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and they are afraid. And that is the way it is in our church too, because we have lots of sensible fears. These people were not irrational. If I saw one of you up on a mountaintop with the light of God shining from your face out of a cloud, I might not react as I would like to. I might be unsure. I might be uncertain that what I was seeing was the work of God. I might be afraid that you were actually on fire. And that is a reasonable fear. And in our church, we have those fears too, because we see things as prophecy, and we are afraid that they come with division. And we see the call to stand for something, to become something new, to say, this is what it means to us to be a Christian. And we see the fear that there will be loss and pain that comes with that statement. But the danger is, as Archbishop Tutu said, we want to stay on the mountain, far away from the people who need us. And it is more important that we come down off the mountain and say, this is what we believe, and what we believe has the power of transformation. That in our church, we believe in love, in radical love that may not look the way other people think it looks. We believe in radical welcome. That means whoever wants to walk in our doors is welcome in this place. And that means something to us. That means we want to be a church together here in the church out in Ankeny saying, this, we believe, has transformative power. Coming together as one body of people who may believe slightly different things, but who all have access to the love of God, and transformation means something, just as the transfiguration of Jesus meant something. We are in a period, we're coming into a period of reflection. We are coming into a period of renewal. Moses was on the mountaintop seeking God for 40 days. Jesus was seeking God in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. In our Lent, we will be seeking God for 40 days and 40 nights, trying to understand what it means to us to be followers of Jesus Christ in this time and in this place. And I invite you all to come and be a part of it on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, on Thursday mornings, as we had this week. Come, seek God together. In the journey, we may find transformation. And if we don't feel changed, we need to do something else.